In this video, we're going to talk about what it means to actually borrow against your digital assets, what that looks like, and why it should matter to you. You made a bunch of money in crypto, which is great. Or maybe you've put some money into crypto and it's appreciated some. You know, this cycle, you know, there's things that are already up 10x from the bottom of the bear market. And that's probably the best time that you should be borrowing against digital assets. It's when they're actually down in value, because we do have a lot of volatility in this asset class. So that's just one of the considerations. Let's kind of get into what it looks like, you know, as far as the constraints around borrowing against digital assets versus other asset classes. Most people are familiar with borrowing against their real estate or their stock portfolio or their 401k, where interest rates are a little bit lower. The LTV there is a little bit higher. So the LTV is a loan to value ratio. So, you know, let's say you had $1 million. If you had a 90% LTV, you could get $900,000 against that $1 million. Whereas in crypto, oftentimes you're going to see something much lower than that, somewhere between 40 and 60% LTV, sometimes up to 70%. But with the volatility in this asset class, a lot of the time, it really doesn't make sense to borrow up to 70% unless you're in the bottom of the bear market and you expect things to move substantially higher than that. You know, we've already seen some appreciation here. And again, you know, I say this in every video, but nothing here is financial advice. It's all for entertainment and educational purposes. Always speak with a licensed wealth advisor like those at Digital Wealth Partners if you do have actual needs for financial advice or want specifics around your financial situation. This is all just, you know, speculation. I'm just some guy on the internet and I'll talk about some of the stuff that I've done in the space. So a while back, I did borrow against my XRP with Nexo. Not recommending that platform, not recommending DeFi. Just giving you an example of something that I've done in the past. So I borrowed against my XRP. I think it was around, I don't know, somewhere around 50 cents. And I thought that it was going to move higher on the chart. This is probably in 22 when I did this. So it was a 50% LTV. I was able to borrow against it. You know, imaginary numbers here. Let's say you put up $1 million at 50 cents. You get 2 million XRP. You borrow another $500,000. You're able to buy another 1 million XRP. It appreciates to a dollar, okay? So it goes up in value. You're able to sell off half of, you know, the XRP that you borrowed and pay back the note, and you get to keep the other half, right? This is a way that people have done this. They take leverage against the assets. You can do options. There's some other ways that you can curate this to be able to increase, you know, the upside if there is that, or the downside, you know, is the other. We just saw a bunch of people, you know, with the market action we've had here recently, get liquidated because they had leverage positions. So not recommending leverage. It's definitely something you need to be very careful of and also hedge your positions on if you're going to play with that. Back to the loans. Okay, so most popular assets that people get loans against are going to buy Bitcoin and Ethereum. They currently have the most liquidity. Tether, USDT, is often something that's used in DeFi protocols to be able to borrow against as well. Most people are familiar with Aave or Compound for these actions. A lot of people have built out protocols and ways to be able to leverage your assets there. We've seen people have problems with that. So let's talk about when that happens. Let's say you did borrow 60% LTV against your ETH. Right. So let's say you have $1 million in ETH, you got $600,000 in ETH that you borrowed against it or in USDT. And then you go do whatever you're going to do with that. You're going to fund your lifestyle. You're going to, you know, put it in some other asset that cash flows, make another investment. Or let's say you double down, buy more digital assets, which I know people do. Not recommending that. If the value of Ethereum were to drop to, let's say, 65% of the LTV, you're going to get a capital call. The DeFi protocol or the counterparty that you're dealing with is going to ask you to top up the collateral, so put more ETH back into the pool to make it, you know, substantially higher. Normally, they want it to go back up to at least 75 to 90% LTV. Sometimes they want it to go back up to 100% LTV to cure that loss there that you've seen in the market, just so that they feel comfortable, they have the collateral in case the market does move lower, right? If it goes beyond the amount that they've loaned and it's in a DeFi protocol, they just liquidate you. They're going to sell your assets, make themselves whole, and you lose it. It's gone. So those are a lot of the risks that exist in the market today for using a DeFi protocol. Whereas, you know, if you work with Digital Wealth Partners, we have some very interesting ways that we've curated tri-party agreements in institutional custody that mitigate some of the risks that are going to be associated with DeFi in particular. There's a longer period for the capital call, and we've orchestrated a way that you get first right of refusal to buy back the asset so they don't just get sold. onto the market. But those, again, Bitcoin and ETH are going to be the main two mechanisms by which you can borrow against, just because, again, those are the highest or most liquid tokens. We've just recently, Digital Wealth Partners got $3 million worth of loans against XRP, around 50% LTV. Interest rates, so we didn't cover that. You are going to have to service the debt on these loans that you're taking. And most of the time they are at higher interest rates than you're going to be able to borrow against, you know, like we talked about earlier, either real estate or your stock portfolio. You know, real estate and stocks are going to be single digits, high single digits, 7 to potentially 10% in some circumstances. Digital assets are going to be somewhere between, you know, mid to high teens, let's say, you know, 12, 13% on the low end, all the way up to 17, 18% on the high end for the interest rate. And again, you know, less LTV than you're going to get in other asset classes. But it is doable. And if you're putting that capital to work in a way that's generating enough income to service the debt, I think it can be a good way to increase your portfolio allocation. Some of the strategies that I've seen are people will take, let's say, half their portfolio, borrow 50% against that. So you're going to increase, you're going to buy more assets, which, again, not recommending this. This is just stuff that I've seen. They take a loan against half of their assets, and they will take that and go put it to work somewhere to be able to earn interest. And with the interest accrued there, they're able to service the debt on where they borrowed. I think that that's probably like walking the line of an effective way to do this, to increase your allocation to digital assets in a responsible way. Nothing's ever completely responsible in digital assets because of the volatility here, but I think this is a way that you could be able to mitigate the risk of loss and put yourself in a position that you can make sure you're servicing the debt and not have issues. So that's just one way that you can maximize your investment. You're getting, you know, 120% of what you currently have in digital assets while being able to generate some cash flow to make sure that you're offsetting the potential loss there. So this is just some of the ways that you can generate, you know, income, or look at how you can leverage your digital assets using DeFi, or again, if you're working with Digital Wealth Partners, then you have a bit more protections there. But I think this is going to be something that people will use significantly more in the future. As these assets appreciate, I think a lot of people are going to be able to draw down liquidity against them and use the infinite banking concept. That's something we talk about a lot here on this channel and on the lives and in other things. If you want to, you can go check out the PPLI video that I did in the past where we talked about the infinite banking concept. Hopefully this has been valuable for you. If you'd like it, please like, subscribe, check out the other videos, and we'll see you in the next one.